All right, take your Bibles while you're standing. Psalm 68, we're going to read verses 32 through 35 together. Then I'll pray, we'll have a special, and then I'll come back and preach. Psalm 68, verses 32 through 35. And again, let's read this passage responsively, please. Psalm 68, verses 32 through 35. I'll wait just a second, a few more pages flipping there. Psalm 68, 32 through 35. Ready? Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth, O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heaven of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We sure do need you. Lord, help us today as we teach and preach the word of God. Give us what we need today so that we can make it. Lord, give us a truth that we could take with us that will last the rest of our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you'll give me your attention for the next 35 minutes or so, I promise a blessing today. I mean that. Now, some of you that normally get a little dozy here, I need you to kind of slap yourself or let somebody else beat you or something, but I want to help you. I'm going to make some very powerful statements this morning. Ashley, you can just hit him whether he's... Okay, do it again, just for me, all right? There you go. All right. I flew to Maine a couple weeks ago, and when I took off on one of my flights, I'm not sure which one, it was kind of gray and cloudy like it is today out, just kind of a bah humbug sunshine day, but... I have flown a good deal, and by the way, I never worry about flying. If I could fly to work every day, I would. I really would. You're safer flying than you are driving to and from the airport. Now, I will tell you this. There are less accidents in flying. The fatality rate is a little higher than driving, but the chances of you being in an accident flying are very, 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 very much less than it is driving. And I never worry about flying. I usually work while I fly. I have my Bible with me and I work on sermons. I proofread Sunday school lessons on that trip and amongst other things. I do a lot of sermon preparation on planes. I just work. I can't sleep on a plane. I can't sleep when I'm driving or riding. I gotta work. So I work. But my favorite part of flying is getting up above the clouds on a day like today. You get into those clouds and it starts getting bumpy and you start rocking a little bit and you watch everybody hasn't flown much and they're going like this. And I'm thinking, I'm not even looking out the window and can tell you where I'm at. Cause as soon as you hit that cloud deck, you start going, why it is that way, I don't know, but it is. But as soon as you get up and above those clouds, man, is it bright and sunny. If you went up about 10,000 feet right now, it would be as bright and as sunny as any day you've ever seen. Soon as you break through that cloud deck, man, is it gorgeous. And you watch everybody that's never flown much, and they'll look out, and they see how gray it was, and they get up there and say, the sun's out. Well, yeah, it's always out. Really? Yeah, it's like this all the time. Even though you can't see it down there, it's like this up here. Wow, I didn't know. I mean, it's like fascination to everybody. People often hate cloudy days. Storm clouds are frightening to many. We see the dark summer storm clouds begin to build, and you watch people begin to get a little antsy and a little bit afraid. Cloudy days become depressing to people. Now, my wife will tell you, the weather really does not affect me.
I'm not one of those people that allows the weather to affect me. The amount of sunlight doesn't affect me, or the lack of sunlight does not affect me. Now, to some people, it affects you, and I feel sorry for you. It doesn't matter to me if it's daylight or dark. Doesn't matter if it's cloudy or sunshiny. I will be the same no matter what. I don't need all of that to work on me. That's just the way I am built. Now, but there are people that get depressed because they don't see the sunlight. The sun is there, but it's obscured by the clouds. Did you know the sun is out right now? It's not bright and you can't see it, but if it weren't, it would be as dark as it was at 5 o'clock this morning when I was on my way to church this morning. Now, it was still out at 5 o'clock this morning. It just wasn't at an angle we could see it. But it is there. It's just being obscured by the clouds. Now, life is filled with many cloudy days. I'm not talking necessarily about the physical clouds there, but the clouds of life that hit us. The life is filled with stormy days. If you've never been through a stormy life period, hang on, it's coming. You're going to feel like it's a hurricane every once in a while. You're going to feel like a tornado every once in a while. Sickness, pain, disease, death, heartbreak, disappointment, financial difficulties, disagreements, people breaking your heart, etc. All of these are storms of life. These clouds and storms block the light and make our days a little bit more difficult and a little bit more dingy, a little bit more uncomfortable. But can I tell you something? Hold on and keep on going, because the sun's coming out someday. The sun is coming out. I had my dear friend, Brother Rick Walter, years ago. He texted me one Sunday morning and he spelled it, Happy Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y. And he changed my approach to Sundays. It's about Jesus, amen, the Son of God. And can I tell you something? Someday the sun is going to shine again. You'll get through or get above the clouds soon enough. You may have days or weeks, may even have seasons of cloudy days, but don't forget the sun's still up there, even though you might not see it strong. The clouds did not turn the sun off. They're just blocking some of its light. Now, I'm going to make a statement that you're going to think is a little contrary. I don't necessarily like cloudy days, but I don't allow it to affect my mood. I don't need to dread. I don't need to fear. I don't have to worry about a cloudy day. Good night. It's cloudy right now, but praise God, the sun's going to be out sometime. Amen. I was looking at the weather where my in-laws live in Minnesota. They're going to have 3 days this week where the high isn't even going to be above zero. They're going to be at 20 below zero plus and then get up to 4 below. Now, there's something to praise God for, that they're there and I'm not. I don't want that kind of stuff. These cloudy days, these stormy days, God may allow you to be a blessing to see God in a very special and unique way. Did you know that all sunshine makes a desert? If you had sunshine all the time, you'd have a desert. You've got to have some of the cloudy days to have what we have. We don't have to live in fear, despair, or depression about the clouds of life. Did you know, you young people, listen to me, not every day is going to be a great day. I hate to disappoint you. One of the things that I fear as a pastor, and one of the things that I hurt as a pastor, I look at our teenagers and wonder in a few years, which of them's going to lose a baby? Which of them's going to have a tough situation? Which of them's going to get married and have troubles? Which of them's going to get married and maybe their spouse dies in their 20s? So it's not going to happen. I've been living long enough to know it happens. Which one of them is going to end up with cancer? Which is going to end up with heart disease? These are things that I see on a regular basis. And I think you don't see the storm clouds coming like I do, but hang on, they're coming. But I don't have to live in fear and depression about it. Listen to this statement. God didn't put the rainbow in the sunshine. He put it in the clouds. God did not put the rainbow in the sunny sky. He put it in the clouds. He put it in the clouds because Noah had to endure the storms and the rain for literally almost a year. Now, he had 40 days and 40 nights till it was all flooded, but just so you know, the rainbow didn't come out till much later. He floated around for another almost 11 months before he saw that rainbow. Listen to this statement. God, Noah had to go through the storm, but God was in the storm and told Noah not to worry about it, not to worry about the clouds. As a matter of fact, he put the hope of the rainbow in the clouds. He said, "Don't you worry. This is cataclysmic, never been done, never going to be done again, and I'll show you my promise by putting that rainbow there." Amen. What a beautiful picture that is. And the perverts have, sodomites have destroyed it. Let me give you several principles about the clouds. God says in Psalm 68, verse number 34, "Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds." His strength is in the clouds. Number one, God uses clouds to clean the air, the water, and the earth. Do you know what a cloud is? A cloud is nothing but water vapor that is attached to dirt particles. Water is constantly being evaporated. That's why when you turn your heat on, your house gets drier. Say why? Because hot air rises. It also takes that moisture that's air and pushes it up and out of your home. It doesn't disintegrate it. It just vaporizes it on top of my wood stove. My wife and I have this cast iron pot. I put about a gallon of water in that thing every day that we burn the wood stove because it can cause the house to get electrifying if you don't. And I put enough humidity back into the air that it doesn't keep the it keeps the static down. Now, I say that to say this. Clouds are water vapor attached to dust or to dirt. And as it rises and it gets heavier, the upper atmosphere gets colder. It might be 40 or 50 degrees here, but you go 10,000 feet in the air and it could be about 5 below zero. Just in 10,000 feet. So as that water and that dirt rise, watch this. They collect, and they hit a certain point where the cold air won't sustain the weight of that cloud. In between there, it's suspending and condensing. And with enough heat added to it, it eventually drops that rain and that dirt. So that air is being cleaned. As that water evaporates, it's taking the dirt and the moisture with it up. The wind takes it and carries it away. When it comes back down, it cleans the earth and waters the earth. It's called the water cycle. It's recorded in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. But it's God's way of cleaning our atmosphere. God cleans the water by it being evaporated and falling down, going through the earth, cleaning itself. And he's purifying the water. You know, there's not one less drop of water on the face of earth now than there was 6,000 years ago.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what you do to it. There is not one drop less of water anywhere in the universe. Because it constantly, now it's moving places. It's moving around, but it's all still there. God cleans the air by attaching the moisture to the dirt, carrying it up. And as the dirt kicks up and blows up into the atmosphere. It attaches to it there as well. As the clouds drop the rain, it cleans the world to give and gives the water of life back to the earth. You know what it's like around here in August when it hasn't rained for a month and it's 95 degrees out every day? When we first get that first rain after about 4 to 6 weeks, man, it's like everything went poof. You know, the grass grows from brown to green again overnight. See, what is that? It's because God has used that water to cleanse things. Now, I want you to notice something. A cloud is nothing but water and dirt. It's nothing but water and dirt. When you fly through the clouds, you'll see the moisture build up on the aircraft. You'll actually see it hit the wings and start going across. Or on some of the windows, you might see water, and it'll just create droplets across there and rush across the plane, because it's nothing but water vapor and dirt. Number two, what is this about the clouds? God says his strength is in the clouds. I want to show you something here. Number next, the glory of the Lord is found in the clouds. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. I want to show you just a few verses here, but I'm about ready to have a spill. Exodus chapter 16, look at verse number 10. Exodus 16, verse number 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, watch this, the glory of the Lord appeared in a... Okay, you sound like a bunch of Methodists. The glory of the Lord appeared in a...
Cloud.
There you go. God's glory appeared in a cloud. Look at Exodus chapter 19, verse number 9. Exodus chapter 19, verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick, what?
Cloud.
That the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So Moses said that God's presence was in the cloud. Exodus chapter 34, just a few more pages over. Exodus chapter 34, verse number 5. Exodus 34, verse number 5. The Bible says, as soon as I get there, I'm there. And the Lord descended in a
cloud
and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So God was in the cloud. Can I tell you something? If you went to Leviticus chapter 16, verse number 2, don't go there right now. You'll find out, again, talks about the glory of the Lord being in the clouds. You're going to find God in the dark clouds of life. God's glory will be found in those dark days more so than in the shiny days. You look at those times when you were at the bottom. You looked at those times where things were tough. You look at those times where you were about to give up hope. And all of a sudden, and by the way, those are the dark days. And then God came in and said, let me show you what I can do. You're going to find him on the dark days more than you are on the light days. Hate to disappoint you. Our sinful eyes cannot look on God. So he's got to mask himself in the clouds so that we can see him. God said if man looks at God face to face, we would have to die. Can I tell you something? You're going to go through the dark days to see him. Say, well, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. That's why you're a sinner. Your sin caused that. I'll show you that here in a little while. Did you know, well, in Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 3, did you know that man walked with God and talked to him face to face before sin? Once man sinned, man could not look on God. It is our sin that causes that. It is not God being unjust. It is not God being unfair. It is God saying, I want you back. I'll make salvation available, but I'll have to mask myself in the darkness of the cloud so that you can see me. Can I tell you something? Those dark days, they're coming. But you can find God in them. I didn't say you're going to enjoy the darkness.
But you'll enjoy God's grace. Yes,
sir. You're not going to enjoy the storm, but you're going to enjoy God's arms of love around you.
Oh, my soul. God made salvation so that God could get us back so that one day we'll look at him face to face. So, the glory of the Lord is found in the clouds. Did you ever sit back and just look at the clouds? Remember when you were a kid trying to figure out what they looked like? I still do that every once in a while. Guess I'm a kid at heart. Amen? That's the only thing I'm a kid at. You know, the clouds, even storm clouds can be fascinating. Man, I've flown over some pretty bad, my wife and I, we flew from L.A. to Charleston, South Carolina, and we literally flew over the remnants of Hurricane Andrew. We were flying over it. You talk about some turbulence, that was getting exciting. We had this one lady, and she was about as obstinate of a person that you could ever meet on a flight. She was not a happy person. And she was letting everybody on the plane know she wasn't happy. And the stewardesses were trying to get her to sit down. She wouldn't sit down. She wouldn't shut up. And the pilot came on and said, I need everybody in your seats. We're facing some pretty rough turbulence from the remnants of this hurricane. And I need everybody down. And he was getting pretty adamant. This lady was just going off. Brother Mike, it was great. We were dropping at times 300 and 400, 500 feet per second. I mean, just like this. I mean, it was getting pretty exciting. When the pilot's starting to get a little nervous, it's time to get a little nervous. We took one of those dips, and we dropped almost 1,000 feet in about a second and a half. I mean, it was just whoosh, like this. Guess who was standing up? Keyword was. When it dropped, she banged her head up on the ceiling of that plane. She hit the floor and was rolling around. And the whole plane, my wife will attest to this, the whole plane started going, yeah, now sit down and shut up. I am not kidding. It was great. We didn't hear from her the rest of the flight. God had justice. Amen. You know, we don't say, what did that have to do with the sermon? Nothing, but it's a great story. Can I tell you something? You don't always enjoy storm clouds, but may I say this? There's some enjoyment after the storm's over. Number next. God used a cloud to lead the Jews in the wilderness. Did you ever notice that God chose a pillar of cloud by day to lead the Jews in the wilderness? Say why? Because they couldn't see the light in the day because the sun was out. Number one. Number two, he used it to comfort them. He used it almost like air conditioning in the desert. He was blocking some of the sun so that it was cooler where they were. Can I tell you something? God used it to keep them safe and to guide them. Sometimes the clouds will guide you. That cloud led them out of Egypt, led them to the Red Sea, led them through the Red Sea, led them across the wilderness, and took them into the Promised Land. It was there for their protection. Matter of fact, at one point in time, when God was getting ready for them to cross the Red Sea, God caused that cloud to turn on its side and stand between the Egyptians and the Jews, and he let the heat convect through there to dry out the Red Sea, but it kept the Egyptians at bay because it was too dark for them to go through. He said, I'll even protect you from your enemy. Sometimes going through those storms will protect you from your enemies. Did you know my enemies don't want to fight my battles? They often stay away. And by the way, I have nothing against my enemies. Brother Stoltz, he knows this is true. In the last month, I have worked aggressively to help somebody that's fought against me. Matter of fact, I've helped two people that have fought against me. I've worked hard at helping two people that have hurt this church. and hurt the people of this church, because I don't believe that they truly wanted to hurt this church. Now, I'm helping them at a distance. Everybody doing all right? Say why. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Did you know they have a chance to get right with God too? Everybody doing all right? I saw somebody yesterday. I was out. And at one time was a very close dear friend. They're not as close and not as dear. I didn't even recognize them, to be honest with you. They weren't what they used to be. But I was standing in line and I was texting with somebody, and all of a sudden I heard somebody call my name, and I looked up and there they were. I said, "Oh, hello, how are you?" "Fine." And they walked away. And I thought, no, I did shower. They were getting out as quick as they could. Now, I'm glad they were cordial enough to initiate a hello. Say, "Were you offended?" Not at all. Not at all. Can I tell you something? God uses the clouds to lead us every once in a while. Sometimes those dark days are there to lead you. I preached at my grandmother's funeral, 99 and a half years old. Can I tell you something? My wife will tell you this is true. I haven't cried yet. Now, yesterday, I was driving to go get more shingles, maybe. Amen, Brother Jimbo. And trying to find something. But watch this. I picked up my phone. I thought, it's Saturday. I could call. No, I can't. I put my phone back. It's a habit. And I took just a few seconds and I thought about my grandmother. Say, did you cry? Uh-uh. Say, did you call her? Mm-mm, because if she answered, I was going to crash. I thought, she's with Grandpa. She's with Jesus. She's in heaven with folks I know. Why in the world would I feel bad about that? She wouldn't come back if she could. Good night. Her old neck was all bent over. She couldn't hardly stand up. She was brittle as could be. She didn't have any. When you've outlived your false teeth, you've outlived. She literally had worn her false teeth in the back down to nothing. She couldn't chew. There was nothing left. And they tried to give her new ones, and she just couldn't do it. You know, when you outlive your false teeth, you've outlived. Amen. So God used it to lead them. Sometimes those dark days will lead you. I've gone through some dark days. Been through the loss of a pastor through death. And I watched my dear friend Brother Walters die of cancer. And them say, "You've been through it. Can you come help us?" I got a text from one of his deacons this week and said, "Brother Bush, man, our church it's thriving. We had a new family join last week, just came out of nowhere. Just everything you preached just started happening, and we're all behind our interim pastor, and he's going to be our pastor." And I'm thinking, man, I love that. Man, they're wound up tighter than banjo string. And that deacon said to me by text, "Thank you for coming and sharing what you've been through to help us through it. I know what you went through and how you felt, because I'm going through it now. But it's okay, and we're going to be able to help somebody else." I thought, yeah, you're going to help a whole lot of somebodies. Number four, Elijah saw a cloud to end a drought. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. There was a seven-year drought. Elijah told his servant, "You go down yonder and see if you see anything." And he went down and he said, "I see a cloud." He said, "What? How big is it?" He said, "It looks like the size of a man's hand." He said, "Go tell King that the drought's about to end." God used a cloud to end some pretty tough days. They had to endure the drought while God fed him, remember, with the raven and the brook and then with the widow, to get to the cloud that would be a refreshing rain. What looks like destruction may be deliverance. What looks like destruction could be deliverance. I've heard people say, "Just don't think it was right for Brother Walters to die of cancer and go to heaven." It may have been deliverance for him.
We don't know. Number 5. God's strength is in the clouds. God said in Psalm 68, verse 34, His strength is in the clouds. By the way, verse 35 says, the God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. God wants to give you strength. God wants to give you power, but you're going to get it from the cloudy days, not the sunny days. You're going to go through the opposition to get strength and power. You don't get strength by doing nothing. Sitting on your blessed assurance doing nothing builds no muscle. Muscle and strength is built by opposition. And you will get strength by going through those hard days. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Keep on going. Well, I don't know if I can make it another step. Pick it up and God will put it down. Let me show you how strong God is. You try to make a cloud. God uses those storm clouds to cleanse, give health, but also to give strength. You're going to face opposition. You don't get strong by not lifting weights or by not moving. You get strong by moving and lifting weights and doing things. You know, if you sit 24 hours a day, you're going to lose muscle. You got to get up and move. Did you know if you sit there spiritually and do nothing, you're not going to have spiritual muscle? You got to move it. Everybody doing okay? God withholds most of His strength and shows His power very little. Matter of fact, Nahum verse chapter 1, verse number 3 says that the clouds are the dust of His feet. Fly up and get over those clouds and it just looks like a carpet. Every time I get up there, I remember Nahum 1:3. The clouds are like the dust of His feet. He's walking on them clouds, amen? It's just like dirty carpet that I'm about to pull out of my house and put new in. Can I tell you something? God's strength is in the clouds. He gives you strength by those clouds. You're going to have tough days. Can I tell you something? Let it make you stronger, not weaker. You know the best way to get through a storm is to go headlong into it. You're going to face it. You might as well go through it. I'm not one of those people that shies away from a storm. Now, I don't like them. I see them coming and think, Brother Jimbo, it's going to be a rough one. Going to bang and crash and flash and going to have a lot of rain. But if I just keep her going, I'll get through it faster. My wife gets irritated at me. We'll drive somewhere and the storm's coming. Why don't you pull over? I'll get through it faster if I drive through it. Amen. We were coming back from Ohio one time. And man, it was... When it's bad enough for me to have to stop, it's bad. We finally got to Morgantown. We were coming from Ohio. And we got out of the church I had preached in that night. And the tornado sirens were going off. And it was that way all the way across Ohio. Well, this thing was following us, and it finally caught up to us, and I couldn't outrun it anymore. It's about 1:30 in the morning. We're trying to find a hotel. Went to 4 different places, finally found a hotel, got everybody into one room, got them settled down, got them laying down, and as soon as we turned the lights out, the tornado alarm went off. And I had one child that was deathly afraid of the word tornado. Well, I couldn't hide it because it's going... I mean, it's loud. What are we going to do? I said, if we die, we're all going to die together. Don't you worry about it. Just go to sleep. I'd rather go to heaven sleeping than awake. Amen. Say, you didn't get up. Where am I going to go? By the way, I'm still here. And that child still is too. It was pretty bad. But I kept driving through most of it. Found out there was 11 different tornadoes that went through the area where we drove. It was crazy. There's strength in the clouds. Number 6, and I'll finish with this. I'm about to shout.
Brother Fred, did you know Jesus is going to come back in a cloud?
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. The disciples were standing there and said, and then he went up in a cloud, and the angel said, in so like manner will he come in the clouds. Amen. Did you know Jesus is going to come back on a cloud?
Now watch this. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. All the way back, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse number 12. Come on, hurry up. I'm there already. Revelation 11. Now if we're late, it's your fault, not mine. Revelation 11, verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. That's the rapture. And they ascended up to heaven in a... We're going to ride on the cloud on the way to glory. Amen. We are going to ride to heaven in the clouds. Can I tell you something? Matthew chapter 24, verse number 30. Matthew chapter 26, verse 64 talks about Jesus coming in the clouds. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he was taken up in a cloud. And he's going to come back in like manner. Can I tell you something? You better learn to like the clouds now, because when the rapture happens, you're riding one. You're not going to fall through it. You're going to ride it all the way to heaven. I think that is one of the funniest things in all the world. Can you imagine what the world's going to say the day the rapture takes place? We're going to have to ask Joe Heaney what it's going to be like. can you imagine everybody watching these clouds going poof? Imagine it could be a pretty cloudy day. But we're going to take all them clouds right out of here. Think about it. We're going to ride a cloud. And Jesus is going to come back in the clouds, on a cloud, to put us in the clouds, to take us back to heaven. Glory to God. Neil, can you push that door shut? Because I'm about to have a spill. We need to look to those clouds as the hope of our rapture. Next time you get depressed on a cloudy day, look up and say, you coming back? I'm going to ride that one. I want to ride a big thunderhead. Amen. Brother Barnes, I want to go fast. I want to ride the top of one of them big old thunder clouds. Say why? I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I don't care if there's lightning or not. It won't hurt me then. Watch me ride one of those little clouds, you know? Scott, you're going to need a little bigger one. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Jesus is going to come back in those clouds. Amen. Folks, don't let the clouds of life bother you. Look at me. Don't let the clouds of life destroy you. Don't let the clouds of life cause you to get depressed. Don't allow the hard times in life to get to you. Jesus is going to come back and take you away from all of it.
Amen.
You got to endure it. But guess what? When we do, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven. I'll finish with this. Isaiah 14, verse number 14 says that Lucifer said, I will ascend above the clouds. Huh. The devil was trying to be above God. He was trying to show more power than God. Remember he said, his strength is in the clouds. And the devil said, I'll ascend above the clouds. I'll be more powerful than God. I was talking to someone, I believe yesterday, and they said, why does the devil fight so hard knowing he's going to lose? And I made the statement, I don't think he thinks he's going to lose. Because from the very beginning, he said, I'll be like God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like God. I will do this. And he really believes he's still got the goods to make it happen. He is so inflated with pride. Well, you know how bad it is. Look how bad we can be sometimes. Well, I can do this. And then it falls apart. Well, I can do this. Those famous statements from those rednecks. Their last words. Watch this, y'all. Yeah, I can do this and not get hurt. Right. Huh.
Satan is the prince and power of the air. And he wants us to focus on all the bad that the clouds do. Well, what about thunderstorms that hurt people and the tornadoes and the hurricanes? And, oh, why did God do all of this? Did you know that the devil is the prince and power of the air? It's him that is controlling that, not God. Getting ready to preach a whole sermon on that, folks. God gets blamed for a lot of things the devil does. Why did God cause this person to die? It wasn't their time. Sin caused them to die, not God. Why did this bad happen to this person and these bad people don't ever have that? Well, because that good person going to heaven someday, that bad person going to die in hell. God wants you to find him in the clouds. Instead of listening to the devil complaining about the clouds, how about we find the strength that God has for us in those clouds? Huh. The clouds. Ascribe ye his strength is in the clouds. The God of Israel that giveth strength and power to his people. You're going to get it going through the clouds. You're going to get it going through the clouds. I wish I could tell you that life's going to be easy. It's not. I wish I could tell you that you're never going to have problems with heartache. I can't. I wish I could look at you young ladies or you young men and say, you'll never lose a baby to death before it's born or just after it's born, but I can't. I got 2 grandbabies in heaven. My daughter-in-law's lost 2 children. Well, we didn't lose them. She just didn't carry them to term. They're in heaven. I've had to take little 3, 4, 5, 6-month-old babies out of the arms of a mama because it's dead. Place it into the hands of a nurse to take to the morgue. Preach a funeral for a casket that could virtually sit on the top of this pulpit right here. Many a time. I've sat in the hospital with a 19, 20-year-old young lady whose husband just died. She walked in a wife and walked out a widow. I can't tell you that the tough days aren't coming. I can't tell you some of the things that little couple right there has been through in the last few years. Talk about some storm clouds. But in that cloud, God gave you Parker. There's some strength there. Brother Brian, your wife died of cancer. Pretty dark days. But I remember after that my dad and my daughter knocked on your door and you got saved. You talk about a man that loves this church and loves this preacher. That man does. Come lumbering up them steps today. Preacher, I love you. Give me a big old bear hug. Glory to God. Joe and Ashley, God gave you Gus. Ashley, God gave you Joe. And what the doctors would have said, why don't you abort him? What a blessing that little boy is. He's going to be my church greeter. You just wait. Hang on. The little boy, they said, would never say a word, never be able to learn, never be able to do anything. You won't catch him without his Bible. Writing, talking, walking up, shaking hands. And autistic children aren't supposed to do that. They don't know Jesus like he does. Thank God this church is a hospital. Thank God. Sherry, that old tough brother of yours. Preacher, I'm not sure what he's going to do to you. It's okay. Got saved about 6 weeks or so before he went to heaven. I don't remember exactly how long. Jimbo, 15 days before your brother went. Thank God your wife didn't listen to you. I mean, He's going to cuss you out. He's going to kick you out, preacher. But if anybody can talk to him, you can. Went in there and won buck to the Lord. Gave up drinking for the last 15 days of his, he hadn't given up drinking 15 days in the last 30 years. Total. And at his funeral, about 30 plus folks got saved. It was dark days, but God gave us some great things because of those dark days. Amazing, isn't it? His strength is in the clouds. We're going to have to go through those clouds. But once we get through them, there's some blessings out there. I promise you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know it. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon was something I personally needed for my life today, and I needed a truth in there today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, virtually every hand.